It's time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins and Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, good. Sometimes the questions are complicated, but this one's easier than normal, I think. It's a simple question, really. How easy is it, or hard is it, to invest successfully?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I can tell you that. That's a secret. No, not seriously. I think investing successfully depends upon teamwork. I think you need to be in a situation where you've been capable of passing over the most complete amount of information to someone who's got skills and experience in investment management to make sure that they understand what you're aspiring to achieve with the resources you have available for investment. Whether you're looking for an income or capital appreciation, or you're looking for a combination of both, they will be then your team member. No independent financial advisor worth his salt could ever put together an investment portfolio that will succeed for a client without the client being an integral part of the decision-making process, and thereby creating a team that work together in partnership to achieve the best results. It may be that the client often has very good ideas about where they might place their money, in which currency, in which asset class, and then listening to the expertise and guidance of a professionally qualified, experienced financial advisor, trim those sentiments to actually match up with what you are going to invest in to make sure that you're successful in what you do with your portfolio of assets.
Okay, so let's look at some investment principles to help people avoid those pitfalls. Mm. Let's start with trying to time the market. Now, is this a good idea or not?
It's a very good question. I think if we all knew the direction of the next week in the various international markets, we'd all know exactly what to do with our money. Unfortunately, we never really know well enough in advance, over the short term in particular, what may happen that lifts or where the market might fall. You know, if the Iranian-American circumstances, for example, are unknown one week and then they're known the following week, the market may react positively or negatively because of that news. And none of us can determine as investment advisors exactly whether that will or will not change. We can make a guess, but that's all it is. I think what the answer is, I can pretty much guarantee that the stock market will be higher in 5 or 6 years' time than it is today. But will it be higher in 5 or 6 days' time? I don't have a clue. And I can guarantee you absolutely for sure, I've never met anybody in 50 years of professional financial services, I've never met anybody who knows where the market's going to go in the next 6 days. Everybody can have a guess, but there's no certainty. And trying to time the market very often tempts you into doing exactly the opposite of what you should do. So that when the market falls very fast, there is, generally speaking, the herd reaction, with people clambering to sell their investments and get out, which simply makes matters worse and the markets fall further. When there is bad news, economic bad news, the markets often react aggressively and fall further than they should. And people often dump their investments at exactly the low point, when indeed a week later there's a bounce back because the circumstances aren't quite as bad as was first envisioned. We've all experienced that. You know, we've all got the TV that tells us the daily financial news. So trying to time the market is potentially very dangerous. I mean, markets always become very attractive when they're reaching record highs, and you think, oh goodness, I might have missed something here, maybe I'm not too late. Generally speaking, when you said that, you are too late, because if that's the reason for you taking an action, then you probably waited too long. The answer to making the best of your own money is not trying to time the market. It isn't timing that makes the best of the money. It's the time in the market that makes the best of the money. I've seen portfolios of assets which haven't been tampered with for 25 years, and they've done very well indeed by being left alone because they've had time in the market. I saw an amazing thing. I listened to the Warren Buffett interview at the Berkshire Hathaway annual general meeting. And he made a remark that, and it's of course ambitious, but had you invested $10,000 in 1941 in the five best leading stocks in the American stock market, that $10,000 in 2018 would be worth $51.5 million. Now, not many people had $10,000 to invest in 1941, and of course that is a massively extended period of time, but it's perhaps an exaggeration in that example of how it's time in the markets that makes the money and not timing.
Stability. Do you find people make emotional decisions when buying and selling investments, and could this be also detrimental?
Well, they do make an emotional, I mean, it's human nature to make emotional decisions, but that often is not the best way of getting the best results from your money when you're looking at buying or selling investments. I mentioned already that, you know, buying into markets when all the good news is out and they're at a peak, maybe the day before they fall by 10 or 15%. And of course, you need courage. And, you know, sometimes fortune favours the brave, but you need courage when the markets have fallen by 20% to take your hard-earned money and put it in the market in the hope that it's about to go up. It might go down another 5%. You never know. And that's really the point I'm making. So that's one level of emotional decision. But at another level, people do make emotional decisions based upon long-term allegiances. So that very often you'll find that individuals who come to talk to us have got a portfolio that's significantly overweight in UK pound sterling when they're now living in Euroland. They may have most of their assets in their portfolio, in their ISAs, in their pension fund, invested in the UK stock market, when indeed they should have a much broader spread now that they've become an international resident. By diversifying across markets and across currencies, you reduce risk and potentially increase returns. So yes, people do make emotional decisions, and it's the job of a financial advisor to listen to those emotional decisions. They shouldn't be disregarded, of course not, but they should be taken in balance with what your advisor believes is the right step forward to get a compromise between what you really feel is an emotionally pressurized point of decision making with what actually makes sense in practical terms to run alongside that. And that's where I talk about, you know, this is where teamwork is the key element in making a long-term relationship and the best of your investments turning out to be successful.
There are, of course, various asset classes to choose from. Is there any way to forecast which one will perform best this year?
Absolutely no way at all. You just simply cannot tell. You can again have jolly good guesses, and we employ at Blevins Franks the skills and talents of a phenomenal business, the Russell Investment Group, who have got the most incredible arrangement for assessing and analysing where performances may be obtained above average in the future. But even they would admit there can be no certainty about that, because you can't be 100% sure of what will be happening over the next 12 months, for example. And what is the top asset class 1 year is often the bottom performing asset class the following year. It's just the way things are. And that's why it's important to have diversity in the various assets you choose, so that you may always expect to get above average returns from the mix of class of assets that you've got, giving you a gradual accrual of wealth above average until you end up with your own personal portfolio producing results in the top quartile more frequently than would otherwise be the case. There's no point trying to shoot the lights out when you're trying to make investments, unless you really are a gambler. What we're trying to do, I mean, if something goes up like a rocket, it often comes down like a stick. And whilst they can be attractive propositions at first sight, the job of Blevins Franks in advising its clients is to get a balance between taking properly balanced risk decisions along with the client's ability to tolerate it, and in conjunction with their own personal objectives. So we're all aiming for the same target, once again operating as a team of partners in trying to get the best results from your funds.
So for our listeners in Spain, Bill, when choosing assets to hold and how much of each, there's a balance here to get right. So how do you get that right?
I often think that really is the job of a specialist, and that's why Blevins Franks employ individuals who are qualified in the area of financial services and advice. And, you know, we are under a moral, not just a statutory regulated obligation, a moral obligation to give the very best advice that we can to clients so that they get the best of returns. The business of Blevins Franks has grown exponentially over the last 40 years. We are the largest UK financial advisor advising expatriates, and that hasn't come about by accident. It's come about because the expertise and skills that we've had have helped us to get alongside clients and assist them in choosing which assets they should hold, so that they are comfortable with the portfolio that they've got, whilst at the same time achieving returns perhaps marginally above their expectations. It doesn't always happen, but it happens most of the time. And so I think how much of each asset you have is down to a much deeper, detailed understanding of the various components of each asset class than most individuals bear, and that's why the advice from someone at Blevins Franks is probably going to make a big difference to the amount of results you get for your investing at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, of course, many people worry about being invested when the markets take a downturn, but can being out of the market be a risk too?
Yeah, absolutely, Howard. I mean, if you looked at the herd of individuals who, back in 2008, when the global economic crisis hit, and I don't blame any of them, to be perfectly honest, it's a human reaction, and you asked about emotions earlier, when it looked as if the world was imploding financially, Lehman Brothers going bust, people queuing up outside Northern Rock for their money, RBS, Lloyds Bank, all at risk of Société Générale, one bank in Germany going completely bust, who can blame anyone for taking the decision to run for cover at that time and putting the money back in cash? Had you done that, you'd have been making an average of about 1% or 2% per annum over the last 10 years, whereas most of the equity markets of the developed economies have gone up by, in some cases, 75 or 80% over that time. So you might have made 15% at best over the last 10 years in cash, whereas you might have made 70% if you'd been in the market. So the answer to your question is in the numbers. You know, there is often more risk to being out of the markets than being in them. It's just a question of making sure you've got proper diversification, professional, intelligent, objective, independent selection of investments and the asset classes you're invested in, and letting these investments and the advice you've got run their course to give you the results that you're looking for.
Yeah. And what about past performance? Is it worth looking at which funds have performed in the best when deciding which new funds to buy?
I wish I had an hour on this one. The answer is essentially it has a small part to play, past performance. Most people base their judgments on it emotionally. You know, this fund has done very well for the last 5 years. It's done this, it's done that. But, you know, as I've already said, you know, there's no reason to suppose it will do good next year. It may just fall to the lowest level of its category. It's analogizing it, it's rather crudely. You know, if you're driving forward to make money, you have to be looking through the windscreen, looking at where you want to get to and not glancing in the rearview mirror all the time. Otherwise, you never get to your destination. And so past performance does have a small part to play. But the art of investment management, as far as we're concerned at Blevins Franks, is to use people like the Russell Investment Group. They don't manage money directly, but they appoint managers who they have researched independently as being the best in their group, in their category. So, you know, if you have a portfolio of assets with Blevins Franks, we will be offering you a vast range of investment managers that the Russell Group would have analysed, and you might have in a portfolio 10, 15, 20, even 30 investment managers looking after your funds, because we want you to get the best in each category. And the only way you can do that is have independent assessment and analysis of those investment managers out there. And that isn't always made better by looking at what they did last year, because as I've said to you already, the asset class, the fund that did the best last year, for whatever reason, it may just have been a piece of luck, it might be that the fund manager changes, it might be that the research team depart and go and work for somebody else. For reasons you can't easily forecast, they might be in the bottom quartile next year. So the answer is, it has a small part to play, but it's not the be-all and end-all, as many people seem to think it is.
Well, you've been explaining, Bill, how you do help your clients to invest successfully. But let's say that someone has had the same portfolio for years now. How should they go about renewing it and rearranging it to work effectively in today's, can I say, volatile investment world?
Yeah, it's a good question, Howard, and we meet lots of people who, over the years of their life before retirement in particular, and with good advisors generally speaking, they have invested very well, and the assets that they hold are beyond reproach in a sense. But if you've moved from the UK to Spain, the first consideration you have to have is, do these assets work in a new fiscal environment? First of all, the tax treatment in Spain of many asset classes in the UK that you might have in your portfolio is different, whether it's a pension fund, an ISA. An ISA is a tax-free savings scheme in which many people have got nearly £1 million, some more even. But it's not tax-free in Spain. Spain haven't granted tax freedom to that portfolio. You've got to do something to wrap up those assets in something that works in Spain. So the answer is, you still need to pay very close attention to specific financial advice appropriate to where you're living and your circumstances to make sure that you end up with a tailor-made portfolio and not something that's been put together over a number of years. However good it's been, you're now in a different environment. And if you've been living in Spain for some time and you haven't reviewed your assets for a long time, then you will probably end up paying much more tax than you need to. So the basic trigger to getting the best advice is to look at it from a tax perspective and then to consider how you can model the investments you hold into a totally better set of circumstances from both an administration, performance and tax perspective, so you get the best of all worlds.
Yeah, indeed. So how can people get in touch with you, Bill? I guess the website is the place to start.
Sure, www.blevinsfranks.com will get you to the website. You've only then got to search in the area of Spain to find out which office is closest to where you are, and you can make contact with the office, and they would always like to talk to you. It never hurts to talk, as they say. It can't cost you anything just to talk, and then after that talk you'll have a much better idea of whether what we've been talking about today, the principles, if you like, of successful investing, whether or not we can help you apply those to your own personal assets.
Thank you very much. We'll talk in Spain at the same time next week.